That brings us all the way up to our final objective. We must change our expectations. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 62. We must change our expectations. The subtitle for this last objective is this: what do you expect? What do you expect? We must change our expectations. What do I mean by an expectation? An expectation is simply what I believe will happen. An expectation is what I believe will happen. Expectations are important because our expectations drive our commitment. See, if I am challenged with a difficult circumstance, but I believe that the outcome will be good, then I am encouraged to continue. I keep on pressing and I stay committed. But if I'm challenged with a difficult situation and my expectation, my belief is that the outcome will be bad, then it causes me to want to give up and walk away. See, our expectations drive our commitment. And when our expectations are not met, we become discouraged. And when that happens, life can go into a tailspin. See, unmet expectations cause us to blame God. Unmet expectations cause us to blame others for the difficulties and the setbacks that we have in life. Unmet expectations cause us to become bitter and angry, cause us to think incorrectly. And in the end, we lose our motivation and our commitment. We go back to that stagnant place that we came out of. We go back to old ways of thinking, old ways of behaving, old ways of doing things. Why? Because I've been disappointed. I'm disappointed and discouraged. See, I thought things were going to be different. Amen. Amen. I didn't anticipate these issues. God, this is not right and this is not fair. So I just give up. Because obviously I have been wasting my time. Disappointed expectations. If we are going to stay committed to living up to the standard that God has set for us, we must avoid unmet expectations. I'm going to say that again. If we are going to live up to the standard that God has set for us, we must avoid unmet expectations. How do we do this? We do this by being grounded in the truth. Church, our expectations must be grounded in the truth because the truth cannot disappoint. Because the truth is always true. We must be grounded in the truth. So today, I want to give us three things that as believers we must expect. Three simple and basic things. And if we have this as our expectation, then we can be grounded and we can continue with our commitment. A believer must expect, point number one, trouble. A believer must expect trouble. Trouble, as we have learned, is difficulties and problems not of my own making. Difficulties and problems not of my own making. And those things that come in our life, those difficulties and problems that are not of our own making, they cause us great distress and great anxiety. But church, we have to stop being so surprised when trouble comes our way. See, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have accepted him into your heart, you are a child of the living God. And if there's one thing that God has warned his children of, if there's anything that he has told us, if there's anything that he has repeatedly instructed us in, is the fact that we need to be prepared because trouble is coming.
Amen.
God has told us that. Jesus on the way to the cross said it very succinctly. He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." And when Jesus said it, he meant what he said and said what he meant. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Notice what he did not say. He did not say that once I go to the cross, your troubles will be over. Once I go to the cross, your natural life will be all peaches and cream. He said that in this world, that is, as long as you're living in this world, as long as you are living in this natural life, in this world you shall have tribulation. We can translate his words this way. Jesus said tribulation is certain to occur in your future. That's what he was saying to his disciples. Tribulation is certain to occur in your future. It is certain that you will be pressed. It is certain that you will be oppressed. It is certain that you are going to be afflicted and distressed. It's coming your way. And in fact, throughout the New Testament, believers have been instructed time and time again how to view and respond to trouble. The Bible tells us all types of things about how to deal with the trouble that we have. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness like a good soldier. Resist the devil and he will flee. Put on the whole armor of God. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Church, could it be that God is trying to tell us something? We must stop being surprised by the trouble that comes our way. See, when you're surprised by something, you're caught off guard. Your defenses are down. See, when we are surprised, we tend to panic and forget everything that we know. This is often what happens to Christians when they don't take heed to what they've been taught and end up surprised by the trouble that comes in their life. See, what happens is we panic. Our emotions cause us to panic, and everything that we know goes right out the window. We forget to pray. We forget how to pray. We forget who to pray to. We forget to read our word. We forget to come to church. See, everything that we have learned goes right out the window. We forget godly communication. All of a sudden, those cuss words come back in our mouth. You know, I know none of you all do this, but all of a sudden, those words that we had put to bed, put away with, start rolling off our tongue like we never forgot them in the past. We forget good communication. We forget everything that we've been taught. We forget kindness and love. We forget forgiveness. We set aside what we have been taught and get all the way into our flesh. Why? Because this trouble has taken me by surprise. Now I'm all panicked in my emotions and I don't know what to do. Church, we must stop being surprised when trouble comes our way. Because when we are, we start acting contrary to our faith. And when we act contrary to our faith, we become a tool in the hands of the adversary. Because who's going to believe us? Who's going to believe what we preach if it looks like we don't believe it ourselves? You might say, "Well, Pastor, you said this message was going to be encouraging." Doesn't sound too encouraging so far. Don't worry, the encouragement is coming. But for now, we have to understand, I'm not too smart for trouble. I'm not too special for trouble. I'm not too holy for trouble. And I'm not too good for trouble. See, sometimes we think, God, I've been good for so long. I've been working in the church for so long. I've been serving you, God, for so long. Why you let all this stuff happen to me? We're not too good for trouble. We have to understand that trouble is coming our way. But we also have to understand this. Just because trouble comes your way does not mean that God is punishing you. We have to understand this. Because sometimes that's what Christians think. That if I am going through trouble in my life, God is punishing me for something. But God is not punishing us. The Bible says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. As long as you live in this life, trouble is coming our way. In fact, if it seems like your troubles have gotten worse since you have become a Christian, or if it seems like your troubles have gotten worse since you raised your level of commitment, you're probably right. Your trouble probably has gotten worse. But you didn't think the adversary was just going to leave you alone. That he was just going to sit back and watch you grow and develop and mature as a Christian. You didn't think that the adversary was going to say, oh, well, I lost one there, and move on to another person. No. See, when we were in the world, sin was our trouble. And so sin took care of us all by itself. But now that we are saved, the adversary is looking for any opportunity to draw us away from our faith and to discredit God. Church, trouble is coming. It's coming. And I say this not to belittle anything that any of us go through, but we must be prepared to handle the attacks of the adversary so that we can keep our commitment. A believer must expect trouble. But a believer must also expect, point number two, help. A believer must expect trouble, but a believer must expect help. In other words, when trouble comes, I must believe that God is my help. Let's look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62 is a psalm of confidence, written by King David. We're going to read the first seven verses of scripture. It says in Psalm 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. See, in the face of trouble, David's expectation was that God would help him. See, in verse 6, David declares that God is my rock, my salvation, and my defense. I shall not be moved. See, David is expressing that God was his everything. He believed that God would come through for him. Church, we must know and understand that God is our everything. We must believe he is all of our help, not some of our help, not a part of our help, but that he is all of our help. and we must be confident that he